podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Rashford, he's in here, he scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder. And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
One manager, only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man
U.
Thank you, man. Guys in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Manny.
Ready!
Description. Oh. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here.
Oh yes! Welcome to Manchester United. Anthony Martial.
I beat for backstage till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one.
Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you.
Bang.
Only chance in my team like Man U.
Yeah, like Man U.
Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you.
Bang.
Only chance in my team like Man U.
Yeah, like Man U.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mugga. I'm joined this week by my two co-conspirators. Seb, how's it going?
It's good, it's good.
You tell me, bro, you've invested a lot in this Ten Hag regime. I'm not seeing enough.
I'm seeing some positives. Got to the positives.
Yeah, well, yeah. You're going to have to show us, boy. I ain't seen shit. Everybody, City and Liverpool, teams who are like 20-odd points clear of us, they're making signings before we've made one. We'll get into it. And I'm also joined by co-conspirator Gaz. How's it going, Gaz?
What's happening, bruv? What's happening?
Hey, I think you're being a bit too harsh on 10, man.
We'll get into it. You sound refreshed, bro. The weeks off, you're getting yourself back, man. You're rediscovering Gaz again.
Yeah, man. You know what? Pre-season's soon, isn't it?
Live it up as much as you can, my guy.
Yeah, it's been a nice break from football, to be honest. So. Honestly, yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. For those of you who are listening and you're on the Twitter, please make sure you retweet the podcast, you share that with your friends who are Manchester United fans. And yeah, we get quite every week when we release a pod, you get fans of other clubs saying they enjoy our pain. I think we're quite level-headed on this podcast. At this point, all you can do is laugh, really, and hopefully things go better. But yeah, if you're a listener and you're enjoying this pod, please make sure you share that out and help us get the listens up. With that being said, what the hell is going on? I was on the main pod yesterday, and they were all onto me. Oh, you know, ain't making no signings. All we're hearing is that you're linked to Frankie de Jong. And I said, I don't work for Man United. What do you want me to do? Why not come in at me? Like, I'm the one who's not making the signings. I don't work for Manchester United. What do you want me to do? But jokes aside, preseason starts in a couple of weeks. We've got to be worried that we haven't made one signing yet. And I guess, Gaz, you can take this if you want. Seb, you can take this. Gaz, you said I'm being harsh. So I'd want you to elaborate. Explain to me what I'm not seeing.
There's just nothing to see. Obviously, like on the transfer front, you know what? First, I'm going to try to be positive because it's a new regime, isn't it? It's a new time.
Yeah.
When I say new regime, I mean Woody's gone, some of his cronies are gone, some of the old coaching staff have been got rid of as well, or have left, shall I say? So it's a new regime, and it's good to have that positive mindset at least for now and see how things go. I think on the transfer front, any United fan that's ever so slightly concerned is understandable when you're seeing today City announced Haaland properly. Nunes sort of on the way to completing, if not completed, his deal to Liverpool. So yeah, obviously I get the concern, but I feel as though we firstly, the biggest thing was to have a clear up, which we needed. We needed to get rid of a lot of people.
We did. But when you actually look at the quality of the people we got rid of, quality wise, those probably aren't the ones we wanted to get rid of. Matic, Pogba, Lingard, Mata. We've kept worse players.
I hear you. So, like, Mata, you don't care about Juan Mata. Obviously, I love the guy, though. Love him.
He's a good lad.
He's a good player, but you don't care about that. Who's the next? Paul Pogba. Even you've had enough of Pogba, so don't come to me with that.
Bro, I've had enough of Pogba, but if you're showing me McTominay, you're showing me Fred, you're showing me Van der Beek, you're showing me Andreas Pereira. Come on, bro.
Bro, do you know what it's Pogba? It's the hope that kills.
Bro, Pogba. I don't care if Pogba's only going to give me 10 games. Did you hear those names I just listed to you?
I hear you.
McTominay, Fred, Bruno, Van der Beek. Brother, come on, man.
And that's, I guess that's the interesting part, is how do those guys fit into what Ten Hag is trying to do?
Interesting is not the word I'd use, brother.
You know me, I'm a balanced guy, man. You know,
you're an optimist. I appreciate that. Eternal sunshine of the spotless mind.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those guys fit in. Obviously, he seems to have settled on Frenkie, De Jong. That seems to be the one we all want, or United sort of want. So, one step at a time.
Yeah, look, you hear that? Did you hear that sound you just made? That was the frustration. He's not worth this stress.
Obviously, Seb,
you said, oh, yeah, it's good. You don't want players who just want to come and we don't have to convince them. You don't want to come at all, fam.
No, it's not about that, man.
What's it about, please, brother?
He now wants to roll. Frankie wants to roll United.
Nah. You don't want to roll, bro.
No, he does, but United...
You don't want to roll, brother.
Barca are trying to hit the lick off United to ease their debt worries.
Understandably.
United are like, bro, we're not doing this 100 mil thing again. And also on top of that, he ain't worth that, right? Mm. This oldest 60 plus 20, yeah? Mm. Or this the first bid was like 50 plus 10 or something like that or whatever. Hold that. And that's how we're going to move. So they're part of the evaluation. So I understand both teams' point of view, but similar to what Nunes is, what happened with Nunes, right? It's, you know, where we've actually...
Is that what happened, though? And what I say... I'll say, and on top of that, what I'll say is, okay, cool. 50 plus 10 on Monday, we don't want that. Make the next bid on Tuesday. Why are we longing it out? Like, you see, do you know, we were linked to Nunes for weeks, yeah? Liverpool came and got it done in 5 days, bro.
No, but hear this.
Hear this, though.
Like, so two things on that. I'm gonna speak to the Frankie point. So the Frankie point first is like, there's no point making a bid if Barca saying I want 100 million. Let's discuss this first, right? Like, you need the money. So I think this is what that process is. And then also, apparently, we've like bid for Neves or something like that.
Okay.
And I think the backup to this Frankie thing. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And then we're gonna use Neves as, you know. Bro, like, either way, if we don't do this, we're going to go and buy Neves. I think that's pretty much how that deal's going to play out. With Nunes, we've never spoken to Benfica. We've just spoken to the club. We've just spoken to George Mendes.
Okay. Right?
So we had spoken to George Mendes just saying, yeah, he'd roll. And I think we were just trying to pat with George Mendes on the side. And Liverpool have just paid the fee that United didn't want to pay. United wanted to pay 70 million. Liverpool paid 100 million all in. And for me, I was looking at that. I was looking at both these signings the other day. And I was like, are we going to spend all our budget on two players? I'm actually happy that United are not going to. This is what we do. We would buy Frankie de Jong and Nunes, and then we'd buy one youngster from around the way, and then we'd call it the best transfer window. That's a transfer window of yesteryear. I'm more inclined to like say, all right, cool. I agree with this. I agree you not going all out and matching Liverpool. We can easily match Liverpool's bid and then blow them out with the wages. That's nothing. We do that all the time, right? Or with, like, Frankie, we can easily just give what Barca want because that deal's pretty much done if we give the 100 million. But where does that leave United? It's about the whole squad. It's about squad building. So for me, I don't mind missing out on Nunes. I've seen that there's other targets, potentially, you know, Lewandowski's been floated.
Robert Lewandowski, yeah?
Yeah, but the thing as well, because the reason why is because Barca can't register Lewandowski and he's falling out with Bayern. So at 34, who's going to give you a 3-year contract? Only Man United, right?
But so then, is that good? You just talked about yesterday. We've been doing that. We've been giving these guys past their prime, big money.
Yes. The only reason why I do that with Luan, yeah, is that he's an elite stopgap until United can find a striker.
Man said right? Him, how do you know? That's crazy.
He's an elite stopgap, bro. He still bangs up numbers. He's not somebody like that their numbers have been on a serious decline. He's still shooting with some of the top strikers in the world, right? So if we bring him on board, we give you a 2-year, we'll give you a 3-year, whatever. Ideally, we're only going to buy one striker when Ronaldo leaves next season. So then you have Lewandowski, which is the older statesman, right? The guy who can still put up numbers. And you got your younger striker that you've invested in to kind of come through. So I actually prefer that because, like, everything else, I don't know what's out. Other than Martinez, Lautaro, I don't know what's out there.
Boy, 34 years old, your first experience of the PNP Prem. Welcome, brother.
Welcome.
Yeah, that's some nasty business there, brother. I appreciate you, though. I appreciate you for trying to break it down. That's nasty business. Cool. So you can't get Frankie and you can't get Nunes. Where are the other signings, bro?
Did you hear what Frankie said yesterday, though?
What did he say, man?
He got questioned about whether he would like Lewandowski. And he was like, yeah, of course I'd love to play with Robert Lewandowski in my team.
Yeah, at Barca.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm telling you, Frankie de Jong is leaving Barca over his dead body. I'm telling you. Barca need... And what wages are we going to pay the youth as well? Because he's on stupid money.
He's on like 350,000 euros. You're not going to say, listen, man. Hey, hold this, man. Hold the 350 as well, man. Hold that chalk.
Hold the 350, but then
coming in at 350 is insane.
Because what do you get the next one? He comes in straight away, our highest earner. I don't like this signing, bro.
I don't. I'd rather us skip that and go to Neves and buy another midfielder as well. I generally would rather that.
Two midfielders for 90 mil. Neves and Bissouma. Let's crack it, man.
Simple. And the only reason why, the only reason why I'm on this signing is because, all right, if I believe in this manager so much, yeah. Let him have his tools, right? Your main guy, you want your marquee signing to be Frankie de Jong. All right, fair enough. No excuses.
If you I hear you. You
die by that signing, bro. You have to live and die by that signing. And no one can say that you know, you didn't get your marquee guy. Even if it's just one of your marquee guys, obviously there's a big list, but if you get your main guy, right, okay, cool. Live and die by it. This guy must perform. Like, he's got to be key to United. And I don't want any excuses. I'm trying to say because I believe in a manager, but then if you start getting my second target, my third target, my fourth target, similar to what we did to Jose, similar to like other managers, like we start getting the targets low down the line, you know, that leaves wiggle room for excuses. And then when these managers leave United, they say they weren't backed. And truly they weren't because you didn't go and get my first target. I had to like deal with the second target or the third target. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So I'd rather just go this way because I believe in the manager. Rather than the signing, I believe in the manager.
Fair enough. So do you think that, I guess in terms of the dynamic of the club making the right impression to Ten Hag, we need to try and get Frankie de Jong. My thing is, okay, cool. I'll even hear that. I'll hear you on that. What about the other signings, bro?
I think United.
Is that what? Can we only work on one signing at a time?
That's what I think is poor. But I have been told that like a lot of these clubs, you got to think about it. Like not even the reason why we're on it because we're Man United fans. But the only two clubs that have done business is City and Liverpool. They're the best two clubs
and Spurs,
right? So there's only three clubs in the Prem that's done signings in it. Obviously, we're Man United. We're focused on us. But I think everybody's in a similar situation where everyone's trying to work out the best deal possible for these players. I think we are working on multiple signings, but a lot of journalists, and I think that's what we feed into, like they're trying to rile up the fan base as well, like I've been told, because, you know, they United, like...
We're clickbait.
Yeah, we're the biggest clickbait. Like even I remember Fabrizio Romano saying maybe about 2-3 years ago, it's like, yeah, man, especially when I talk about United, you know, when I speak about United, basically saying when he speaks about United, the fan base is crazy. So all of these journalists
working on me still.
Yeah, all these journalists are trying to build, during the summer, they build their profile on Man United. Mm. That's like the easiest route to build them. They like Fabrizio was even saying, look, especially Man United, like when we talk about Man United, the fan base is crazy, like whatever.
That's when it gets cracking, yeah.
It's all right. Cracking.
It's a global, we're the global football club still, isn't it? So
exactly. So my boy was telling me, yeah, like all these journalists are just trying to rile up United fans, and United fans are not seeing it. They're buying into the whole thing, but City have made two signings. But they were done previously within the season.
Okay, I guess my thing is, yeah. Okay, I'll take that on board. Yeah, new manager, preseason. Surely he wants as much time with his signings. Yeah,
I saw the reports that he wanted all of his signings done before preseason. But what works out is if your main targets, you know, are not coming, right? You then have to switch your alternative targets. And I have seen that's what I said. I mentioned, you know, the Neves stuff and, you know, all the other players that we're linked with. I think United wanted, if we had got Nunez for 70 million and Frankie, right, and Frankie would 100% be done, I think those would have been our only two signings. Mm-hmm. So I think United are now thinking of alternative, right? Okay. So these will be our only two signings and we was going to spend our budget on these two.
Right. Why don't we in for Kalidou Koulibaly? 30 mil.
Bro, I'd take him. I don't know what his injury record is like, but I think he's pretty stellar.
He doesn't really get injured from my understanding.
Yeah, I'd probably take him, but I know like Napoli, I remember when we first wanted him before we went Maguire and before we got Maguire, Napoli was saying like 150 million.
Yeah, he's got a year left on his Conny now. He's going to be 31.
Now it should be easy. But again, it just fully just depends on...
Only 27, 26 and 25 league games in the last 3 years.
You know what? It's like, if it's... I've seen reports here that Baye, Axel are not required. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So if you're getting a cooler Baye... But to be fair, we are linked with another left-footed centre-back, the guy from Inter Milan. Is it Bastoni?
Yeah, right? He's good. Spurs won him as well.
Yeah, linked with him. So it's between us and Spurs.
What happened to that Ajax kid? The centre-back to us right-back?
We're still linked with him. I think United wanted to see what their most expensive signings were going to say. And I think like the cheaper signings might be easier to do. Do you know what I'm trying to say? But if my budget's 150, right, there's no point me like targeting all these men when I just wanted to spend 150 on two men. Now this ain't working. All right, now I've got another strategy. Here's my other strategy, and here are the other players. So within the next 2 weeks, I 100% expect us to make at least two, three signings in the next 2 weeks for sure.
Okay. And how many do you think we end up with total?
I think three or four. But as I've said, I'm more focused on the manager. This is like all I think about is LVG. LVG was our last coach, right? Our last coach that coached the players tactically, that coach shape, right?
Yep.
That coach pattern of play. So this is our next coach post LVG that can coach shape, that can coach pattern of play, right? So if you just look at that and you take that basic principle, United are gonna go into the season with a better shape, a better pattern of play. And then on top of that, if you expect some of the players, I saw the report about Rashford, if you expect some of the players to actually either get back to the level that we've seen before or actually improve. Sancho improving again. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like Van der Beek back in with a manager that he knows, that he trusts, that he has experience with. If you just look at some of these things, maybe like Garner coming back in or whatever, we're not in a horrible position if we sign three players.
Do we get back in the top four though?
Yeah.
So Spurs are signing two already, Jed Spence and Perisic.
That's a good pickup, by the way. Really good pickup.
Two good pickups, bro. They look like they're gonna get a couple in midfield. They're gonna get an attacker, centre back. You know, that's. I mean, they got Kane, they got Son, they got Kulu.
But isn't also fifth place the Champions League spot this year?
I don't know, is it? Yeah. Fucking hell, man's talking about fifth.
No, no, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
That's already better than a married woman.
No, I think we get that for
don't one. Fucking kill me. Is it fifth place? Oh god!
We're getting top four, man.
Oh man, this is gonna be insane.
Look, we have chances to get this. So whether we do it via the league or we do it by Europa League, we're getting into the Champions League.
Okay, cool. Let's move on away from transfers because not very much is happening for now. And let's address some spicy comments from the manager of the England team. So in response to a question about whether United's failure to qualify for the Champions League could physically benefit his Old Trafford contingent, which also includes Harry Maguire ahead of the World Cup, Southgate answered, "We've only got one with us. They've got a lot to do to get back in the squad." When you talk about they, players who have played for England in the last year or so, Sancho, Rashford, even Luke Shaw, what do you guys think of Southgate's comments?
It's just not consistent. If it was consistent,
yeah, he's very inconsistent.
If it was consistent, I would agree, because Sancho, Rashford, Luke Shaw did not deserve to play for England on a base level. However, if we look at his picking of Maguire, and people can say like international performances, I can go back to Rashford's international performances in the past. I don't think that's justified. But even if we go to Grealish, right? Grealish is definitely not justified. You know, somebody who's had a very, very poor season by his standard, but his team's obviously won. We talk about in the past Sterling when he hadn't been picked for City or he's been out of favour, him still being in the squad. So there's several players like, you know, Henderson sometimes being injured for a whole year, coming back playing in the team. Like he did that in Europe. So there's so many players that whether they've been injured, whether they've been playing horribly, because of their cachet with England, they've always, you know, got in somehow. And
that's understandable to a degree with someone like Raheem, because Raheem always produces for England. So I understand that premise. But even Maguire, I don't know how you can justify and say Maguire has always produced for England, because he had a whole period like last autumn, last winter, where he was horrible, got sent off, conceding like the ball away. So yeah, that's why I agree with you in terms of very inconsistent, has always been like that. Would used to say club formatters, now says international formatters, which I understand. Raheem Sterling, for example, has to play for England no matter what at this moment in time, because he's been. But then I think there is an inconsistency. Has Jack necessarily performed for England or City? And I'm a big fan of Jack Grealish, but has he? I don't think he has. So then that's where the inconsistency lies. But I guess it's down to those guys, Rash, Sancho. At the end of the day, they want to be performing the best for their club, and they know what that means when they do. That means they have a better chance to play for England. So it's down to them. The onus is on both.
I don't think Sancho's really done much for England, to be honest. I think Rashford is a bit harsh, because he had a period where he looked like he was doing really well.
But he's been really bad, though.
He has been. I don't really think Grealish has been that much better than these guys, though. I just think it's been easy to sweep under the rug because his team has been successful. And there's always that kind of your team being successful VAT that we see where players, however they perform, if their team's doing well, people juice it up a bit like, oh yeah, no, but he's been decent, because it's like, well, no, he's not. What's he actually been bringing them, you know? So it'll be interesting to see, like, listen, if we're only signing three players, like Seb has said, we need Sancho to be a new player. We need Rashford to be something. I saw a tweet, I think somebody clipped up Martial on Insta. He's looking really trim. He's like, every year.
That's my guy, but I'm tired, man. I cashed out, man. I cashed out.
A minute ago, bro. I was going to say let's catch up on internationals, but you've got Harry Maguire there.
Good question, though. I've seen, as we were just talking about England, who do you think they could potentially displace, as in if Sancho and Rashford were to find form next season? Who do you think they could displace? Yeah.
Jared Bowen is the obvious one to me.
Abraham Bowen, I think Rashford plays as a backup to Kane. I don't know why Southgate is doing that, because I think he should go back to what he was doing 2 years ago, where Rashford was on the left and Sterling was on the right, because we were playing really, really good football then. Especially like Rashford and Kane, their link-up was similar to like Kane and Son at Spurs. It was mad. Like, that's why I want Kane, just because of that. Like, some of the like goals that they were creating for each other were insane. So I don't know why he plays Rashford on the right now, or he plays him back up to Kane. But if they're going to displace somebody, it would be Abraham and Bowen. But that's actually very difficult, because if you look at like Bowen and Saka, they provide perfect balance because they're both left-footed, right? Mm. And if you look at Abraham, he's starting week in, week out for a top team in Italy. So
you got Phil Foden as well at wide.
Foden's not getting dropped. We know that.
Yeah. So whether it's like, you know, some, I know the squad size has increased though.
26.
Yeah. So whether it's like taking a defender, they take an extra attacker. I see Rashford more getting in than Sancho.
Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed. I think Rashford maybe brings a qualities that others don't have. And like you say, he has previous. Sancho's really struggled to really do much in the England shirt, to be honest with you. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. If you were betting men, yeah, does Rashford make the World Cup squad, Seb?
Yeah, but I was about to go into that. But the reason why I don't think it's all performance-based is because I remember 2 months ago, just during the season, Southgate alluded to Rashford's injury, right? And I think it was when he was picking the squad. And it makes me feel like he would have picked Rashford, but Rashford said he was injured, right? Or something like that. That's what the comment pretty much said. So whether like they've fallen out over that aspect, because it seemed a bit like, this guy's injured. I'm trying to say
recently he said, I think Rashford had missed 8 of the previous 9 squads or something along
the way. Yes, and because he said he didn't want to be... So because Rashford had not wanted to play, right, of some of the squads, I think he's using that against him. Yeah. That's how it sounded. So his thing might not even be performance-based. That's why I said I'm probably 50-50 if he gets in.
Mm. Reliability is important, though. So, you know, yeah, let's see how it works out.
Reliability bleeding for the shirt as well. Those are all the usual things that these managers love. But yeah, we'll see. We're down bad domestically and internationally, it seems. And Luke Shaw, I think he gets in as long as he's fit, to be honest with you. Again, he's been solid for England. It's him and Chilwell, right? Mm-hmm. All being well. Who started at left back in these games with them both being out? I don't know if you guys caught any of them.
Trippier.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
Saka coming at left back for one of the games. That
is
was
it? They put Saka at left back.
If I'm England, I'd do that though. Right. If I'm England, if I've got any like brain about me, I say like similar to how like some of the top players in Europe, their position changes when it comes to international duty, whether it's more advanced. I say to Saka, like, all right, cool, look at our squad, right?
Bro, a good Premier League right winger, or good to very good Premier League right winger. You got man playing left back, bro.
He's a good left back, bro. He's played good there. Right?
Yeah, no, man. When he was like 17, yeah.
Got a balance of the team. Can you do a job for us?
What, so Jared Bowen can start right, wide right?
No, man.
Play Sterling for Jared Bowen, man.
Play Sterling there and then get Rashford Sancho in.
Boy, all right. Fair enough.
Bowen's starting big games, man.
He ain't really performed, man.
He hasn't, but, you know, he's got that City. You see, same way how we had that Man United cloak. He's got a City cloak now where it doesn't even matter.
VAT, bro, it adds on to whatever you're doing. Guy won a PFA Young or Football Writers Young Player of the Year for a meaty season, man. Cool. Let's finish up with some listeners' questions, lads. First one is from _active_t_. Since we can't get past the De Jong rumours, what's an under-the-radar signing that would improve our team from every team outside the top six, if possible. Man wants us to do 14 teams. Just pick like three or four players from other teams in the league under the radar signings that would improve our team.
This one is under the radar, but I would love James Maddison. I've always been a big fan of his. It's not under the radar.
No. I agree with you. I'm definitely a big fan. Neves is obviously not under the radar. Let me see. Who's like a under
I the like radar? Fofana. He's not under the radar, but I'd love Fofana at centre-back.
Yeah, let's just have fun with this. Let's just do our own thing. Fuck that question, man. I'd have Cucurella at left-back. I'd have that Cucurella. Yeah,
that's under the radar, Tim.
Good Cannon. Player.
Yeah, he's good a good player. He's a good player. I'll have that.
How do you feel about Lamptey? It's too injury-prone.
I don't know what happened with his last injury. I don't think it's injury-prone. He had one big injury, and then I don't see people raving about him. So whether he struggled to get back to his former self, I think that might be an issue. So I think I'd give it a miss because the injury was like a bad injury.
Yeah, I think he had issues with injury at youth level as well. Maybe the Chelsea guys might be able to confirm a bit. But yeah, Lamptey, what you maybe just allow it, yeah?
Yeah, I'd go. Oh well, he's been relegated, but I'd sign McNeil from Burnley.
Good player, good player. Left back or even left mid. Yeah, he's a good player.
Right wing, like I'd take him both.
Yeah,
like,
good utility.
I'm not looking at him, but
I think he'll come back to the Prem. I think he's a Premier League level player. I think
top teams should be looking at him. Right,
you think so? How high are you saying?
I think he'll play for Man United. I think he'll play for Spurs, Arsenal. Mm. At those type of teams there, even Chelsea.
Yeah, cool. How about Crystal Palace? Who would you guys look at?
Obviously, everyone loves a bit of Michael Olise.
What do you think of Gerhi?
Good player. Good player. Seems, apparently, he's got everything you'd want in a centre-back, to be fair. And I haven't seen too much of him, but I've heard really good things, positive things about his ability on the ball. Obviously, he's a Chelsea boy. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he's a Chelsea boy. That's an academy, so
yeah,
they're always going to produce players that are comfortable on the ball. Can he defend? Can he lead? Those are interesting facets. So yeah, that'd be an interesting one. At least that'd be interesting. Yeah.
Mm. Do Brentford have anyone you take?
I know you lot had discussed Christian Eriksen recently, didn't you?
Yeah, went back and forth with Dissu, and I guess that was funny enough because I saw it as just a good squad signing sort of player. Yeah. Like, he's got good quality. He knows the league. I know people his role there doesn't know the league, but it is something to acclimatise, but he's got good quality and he's able to potentially add value.
Would you say he'd be the equivalent to, like, replacing, like, Wan-Mata, kind of? But
yeah, maybe. And just would be able to do more, I think. Mata's issue was, I guess, his intensity in this kind of pressing, running around world. Mata's not it, is he? Despite that, when he was coming off the bench, he was showing touch, guile, vision, all the stuff that he's always had. And it feels like we underused him, really. He's obviously not at the level where you can build a whole team to accommodate for him, not necessarily being physically the best. But at times, our team was crying out for a player who's going to put their foot on the ball, help us retain possession in the final third, find passes. He's a good dead ball specialist as well.
Especially like Bruno, like
the anti-Bruno, almost like the anti-Bruno in regards to his approach to the game. Careful, considered, measured, cerebral. Those are all things Bruno isn't. And it would have been nice to maybe see a bit more of that. We kept trying to use him wide right, and it's like, well, he's not going to beat a, he's not going to skin a fullback, is he? Get him centrally, get him linking up with other players. And towards the end, Ralph started using him a bit more because the team was so lacking with our ability to progress and create chances from midfield and in central areas. So, I think that's a valid point. Is there anybody from West Ham you'd take a look at?
Right, so we're not going to talk about their centre mid. Mm. We won't do that because I think that would be an awful signing.
Yeah.
West Ham. Ben Johnson would be a half decent back.
Right, what about Kufal? You're all right, yeah?
I'm all right.
Fair enough. Would you go maybe a Lanzini or Benrahma? Or nah, not good enough.
it's all to, like, to what end? They would probably be
squaddies,
but would squaddies. They consider what we have? Would they?
I think Lanzini, maybe.
Does Lanzini even stop? Like, I feel like he's like they have a rotation of the, like, their front forwards.
Yeah, it feels like, I feel Bo and Antonio are the fixtures, and the other guys can be rotation players. And remember, Jesse Lingard, Jesse Lingard went there and was like a revelation for them, a guy who could barely get games for us. So it's levels, I guess. There's levels. There's not a crazy. Well, there are good players at other teams, but Prem VAT, man, you end up playing a crazy amount to get a player from another Prem team. So I don't think a lot of our business is going to be done domestically. Next question is from that Adeniyi guy. What do you think is going to be Ten Hag's undoing or going to cause him early teething problems?
Bruno. Mm. Why you talk about Bruno?
What do you think? Do you think that's going to be in regards to Bruno's playing style? Do you think that's going to be in regards to him making the decision to actually drop Bruno? What do you think that's going to look like, Seb?
I think it's his playing style, but from what I've seen of him, he is no nonsense. So I'm going to be very surprised if Bruno is able to continue to do the shit that he's been doing.
You'll have to adapt. It's that simple.
You have to adapt. But if he does, I don't think that comes from Ten Hag. And then I say we just fold Margot because the people that are higher up are fucking about. So I expect Bruno to adapt. Or adapt or die, isn't it? Really, like your career.
I love that. I love that. Next question is from I am Addington. If you had the choice of binning one and the other has to play every league game, who are we getting rid of, Bruno or Maguire?
Fucking hell,
that's a difficult one, man.
Fucking hell,
you have to bin one and the other, getting rid of Bruno.
Yeah, I'm even looking at. The reason why I even agree with you is because I think Maguire might play under Ten Hag, you know. Like, I look at some of the, like, how we use Daily Bling to like ping the ball
Don't mention Daily. Don't you say his name?
Man said Daily Blind in the same.
Man said Daily Blind and Harry Maguire in the same.
No, I'm
I get it.
Protected Blind. Right, and Blin was more so on the ball. He was doing like the passing, right?
Bro, what Blin is an excellent reader of the game, though.
Potentially see a scenario where
excellent reader of the game, man.
I know, but not the defensive part. Not the defensive part. I just see a scenario where he buys another defender, and that defender is the front facing defender. And Maguire potentially plays. I see a scenario where that happens. However, we're lucky where if it don't work, Varane's there, and I don't know who else is going to be left. But once we buy another defender, we're in a good position because Maguire doesn't have to play.
I guess. What do you think, Gaz? Would you go the other way, or would you agree and play Maguire every game?
I hate the way Bruno plays football. You know what's done, yeah. Hear me out. There's a footballer in Bruno. Like, there is a world I think he could actually be really good. Let me land. Now, hear me. I just think he's actually just stupid. Like, I can't come and say I don't think he's technically good as in the way he strikes the ball. Because I've seen enough to say he can do that to a high standard. I just think he's stupid. And that's my issue with him, is that he's brain dead. So I think back to two moments last season where it's evident the guy doesn't think. It was the Watford game where I think we gave away a penalty, or almost did, when he booted it backwards. Mm-hmm. And he did it in the last game against Palace. The guy is just, like, I actually think he's a ridiculously dumb footballer. But there's something there. On the other hand, and again, this isn't me. I don't want people trying to come at me and say I love Bruno. I don't like Bruno. I had to make that clear, innit? Maguire has shown me just about enough to say, under a good coach,
he can be less of a liability.
I think he can hide his flaws. I think he can hide his flaws. And I think that's what really good coaches do. And the purpose, I guess, of a coach, manager, is to further enhance people's strengths.
Yeah,
improve the flaws or hide the flaws.
If they can't play what with Maguire's strength, we can't play with the ball in the air constantly, can we?
And that's
well, how much can we hide that? Yeah, how much can we hide that? You know, like if we want to play to Maguire's strengths, it's got to be headers and volleys for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think if there was one like, okay, build a functional team and this guy has to play every week in it, it's easier to hide Maguire. Remember, we had no shape under Ollie or Ralph. Teams were able to run ragged through us, cause guys like Maguire to have to step up, get beat to the ball, leave gaps behind them. Bruno is just ridiculously, like Gaz said, every time he gets on the ball, 90% of the time he makes a wrong decision.
Yeah.
How do you coach that out of him? And if you ask him to rein it in, he doesn't have that acute vision and intelligence where he'll still be a productive footballer. If you're asking him to pick his moments much more, he could only do it this way. He could only go gung ho. This is all he's got.
Yeah, he thrives off it. Yeah.
Also, yeah, like when I look at least like Maguire has had like steady form for like England, in that one tournament, right? I've seen steady
World form. Cup wasn't the World Cup and the Euros.
Yeah, I've seen that steady form. Like I've seen your top level. I'm not saying it's the best centre back in the world, but it's an okay centre back where we can hide your flaws. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And if you do that, then we'll have no problems.
Do you know what steady level? Sorry, go on.
No, I'm just saying, where's Bruno? I haven't seen his steady level. Bang pens. But I've never seen a steady level of playing good consistently. I haven't seen it.
Word. What were you going to say, Gaz?
Firstly, I'll just talk on what he said with Bruno. That is a very good point. I've just never seen him just drop sevens.
Just drop some sevens.
it either has to be a bad, so I did an eight, or it's a four or a five or a six.
Man said an eight. He ain't played no fucking eight in the all the time I've watched him.
Yeah, but based off the premise that if you score, you assist, everyone's going to give you that eight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so, man.
And then with Harry, I guess. Do you know what? I feel as though because he was so vastly overrated, the downturn in his form looked astronomically bad, and he was really bad. But I think he's a solid player. I think he's just a solid centre back who was vastly overrated, who has some good facets. But those facets were better used at Leicester, for example.
I guess the issue for him is that the things that he's bad at are what separates a good defender from a great defender. It's specifically those things, that agility, that ability to step out and defend a guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, to defend a guy one-on-one in space. He gets caught out every single time. The ability to anticipate and see things happen. The ability to marshal a back line. We talk about defenders who are leaders. He carries himself like he is one, but there's nothing leadership-wise that about him at all. So, yes, it's a tough question, man. Next one is from Alan Salom Esquire. How do we explain the lack of imagination with signings? Currently, we're linked with ex-Ten Hag players, all the usual familiar names. What do our scouts do?
Well, there's been a revamp of everything pretty much, isn't it? Like some of the lead scouts have left and so on and so forth. I don't know who's come in to sort of... I know we have a vast amount of scouts over... Was it over 200 or something? Stupid like that. But I feel as though the change of regime doesn't help necessarily. Change of manager, again, then doesn't help continuity because you're going from one plan, I guess, to another ideal to another. And we're Manchester United. We've just been shit at transfers for as long as I can remember. Probably dating back to maybe just before Fergie left when we secured IVP, maybe. We've been bad since. So nothing shocks me on that regard. At this point, how can you be surprised? Is my premise, is my idea.
Yeah, fair enough, man. Next question from ADT_123. I know that Nkunku links have dried up. But thoughts on bringing him to OT? I've been really impressed with his France cameos.
No, thank you. when I look at his goals in Germany, it's giving me all Sancho vibes. It's giving me best space type. And I'm just like, yeah, you're not going to be able to replicate this in England, especially at this team. And the price is 100 million. So no, thank you.
K-Bork, K1 underscore. When was the last time United bought a truly top marquee player from outside the league at the top of his game or a year from his peak? And if it's as long as I think it is, does it show Man United lack some kind of appeal in Europe?
Well, they thought
last one's probably Pogba, isn't it?
No, but they thought Sancho was the guy. Like, Sancho was spoken about.
Hey, there's still time. Hey.
But that's what it was spoken about. I mean, look at him like that, but the rest of Europe and everyone else looked at him like that. So I think that's the last person. Obviously, he'll now have a season in. He's going to have a better manager. It's going to be easier for him. So hopefully he does kick on and improve. But Sancho would be the last person. So I don't think we have an appeal. But what I do say, and I was saying this in another group chat, is we can only get these players if we have a clear run. If there's any type of competition between us and a
more... Why would you come here,
Or come in Man United. Simple as that. So
I agree. Well, it doesn't make any sense.
But it hasn't shown really yet because, like, when we look at like Sanchez, we thought that was a big coup for us. We're like, oh, we're taking one of Arsenal's top players. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Giving him 350 or whatever. But we had to blow City out of the water just to get that done and give them Mkhitaryan on top of that as well. Right. So, yeah, if there's a clear run, we're always good. We're cash money for that. But if there's competition, we either have to like double another bid, or we're not getting them.
Yeah, and listen, the thing is, where teams can play just as much as you, they offer more attractive football. They offer more opportunity of success. Why wouldn't you? It's a no-brainer. It's like us moving into a new job. Two places are offering you the same amount of money, but what's the day-to-day going to be like? What are your opportunities within that organisation? Where's your ability to grow and maybe earn even more money? You're going to go to the place that... most people are going to go to the place that sets them up nicely. And for the last 5 to 10 years, we just haven't been that. You know, losing Pogba for free again is disgraceful. It's absolutely disgraceful. You know... losing Lingard for free, disgraceful. Matic, Mata. Like, it's just the catalogue of errors we've had in the last 2 to 3 years is just unbelievable. So maybe I will exercise a bit more patience, hoping we spend our time getting the right guys in, and that really needs to change the culture. People need to see Ten Hag be effective before they want to jump on the train. Like, the leading teams are Liverpool and City now. But not too long ago, maybe Leicester City, but not too long ago, Liverpool were jokers too. And they had to build themselves back up. So people will join something that's moving in the right direction, but they just need to know it is. You know, people are not going to be lost to the fact that Sancho came to us, one of the best young prospects in Europe, a year later, his rep is in the mud.
Facts.
You know? Like, say what we want about him.
But there's a record of that as well. That's the bigger problem, is that that's the player that applies to how many players we've bought in the last couple of years. Sanchez, even though he was on the way out, on the way down, you've got...
Who's the last player we brought in and made them better?
Exactly. So, yeah.
Fucking hell, mate.
Who's the last player we brought in and we made them better? Or we brought them in, their reputation increased, and we sold them...
Ronaldo.
Cristiano Ronaldo. Okay, maybe Nani.
Nah,
but even Nani, we didn't even sell for profit. So yeah, if we're talking about getting a player in and then selling them off for profit, it's Cristiano Ronaldo.
The last player we made better.
We got in and sold them on for a profit, and their reputation increased. The thing is, when a player is we're talking about winning VAT, like Grealish getting picked for England, this is the reason why Liverpool are able to sell squaddies who barely play for 15 million. And we'll be struggling to get rid of...
What's that youth's name, man?
Shaqiri.
Nah, man, the young youth, man.
Solanke.
No, even Solanke, but the other one, the black boy.
Nico Williams.
What Brewster, did you say?
Yes.
Brewster, 25 million.
5 million. Insane.
5 million.
Insane.
Absolutely insane.
Man couldn't score a goal in the Prem. This got sold in for 25
million. 25
million. Bro, the game is fucked.
That is insane. The game is
fucked. And that's that. That's that Liverpool VAT that you're adding on top. Like,
that's equivalent to Chong, you know.
Literally. Imagine selling Chong for 25 mil.
25 million.
We were lucky to get 5 mil for Chong.
Real talk.
Fucking hell. So, Eric, you got a huge job on your hands, bro. You got to change the culture. You're going to have to, maybe you're going to have to take a couple of years of guys that you really want looking at you a bit funny and saying, well, to be honest, if I could go to PSG or City or Liverpool or Chelsea or Real or even Barca, I'd rather go to them. And then when you get, when you get them back up there, then you can start. Then you start having your pick of the talent, you know? But you got to eat some shit for a bit, man. Sorry, brother.
That's pretty much it.
Last couple of questions or last question. Well, Weed underscore Mubarak. I don't know why that would be your at.
That's insane. That's insane. That's insane.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Sorry, man. I didn't read.
Yo.
He is a brother of the African continent, so we'll allow it. East African. I won't give away the flag, so we'll allow it. But we've answered this with preseason starting in 2 weeks. Is there lack of transfers concerning? Seb and Gaz have said no. I've said yes. So we'll see who ends up being right. And then somebody asked about Redacted. And there's some news went around earlier today.
It was literally one Nigerian account.
Really?
1,000 followers just saying breaking and then saying whatever and people just running with that. That is not true.
There is no vetting of news, you know.
Yeah, that's not true.
Yeah, there's no vetting of news, honestly, in this economy. Fair enough, man. Hope is I never see that kid play for this club again, man. Guys, that's always a pleasure. Last week I said we'd have a signing to discuss. Hope of hopes that next week we have a signing to discuss how they fit into our team and we start getting busy, man.
Hopefully.
Pleasure.
All right, boys. Take care, man. Nice one.
Love.
Peace.
Rashford, he's in here. He scores. Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder. Thank you. And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Trying to get in again.
Thank
he's in
you.
Again.
He scores. Like shampoo. Violate my squad, my bang over. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Manny. Ready! Description. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here. Oh yes! Welcome to Manchester United. Anthony Martial.
I beat for backstage till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one.
Thank you, man.
Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Bang. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Bang. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Sports Social Podcast Network.